नावनीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहे। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
विचार चैप्टर 5 वर्सेस 16 टू 20।
ज्ञानेन तु तदज्ञानम् ज्ञानेन तु तदज्ञानम् येषां नाशितमात्मनः येषां नाशितमात्मनः तेषामादित्यवज्ञानम् तेषामादित्यवज्ञानम् प्रकाशयति तत्परम् प्रकाशयति तत्परम् ज्ञानेन तु तदज्ञानम् येषां नाशितमात्मनः तेषामादित्यवज्ञानम् प्रकाशयति तत्परम् तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानः तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानः तन्निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः तन्निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः गच्छन्त्य पुनरावृत्तिम् गच्छन्त्य पुनरावृत्तिम् ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषाः ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषाः तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानः तन्निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः गच्छन्त्य पुनरावृत्तिम् ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषाः विद्याविनयसम्पन्ने विद्याविनयसम्पन्ने ब्राह्मणे कविहस्तिनि ब्राह्मणे कविहस्तिनि शुनिश्चैव श्वपाके च शुनिश्चैव श्वपाके च पण्डिता समदर्शिनः पण्डिता समदर्शिनः विद्याविनयसम्पन्ने ब्राह्मणे कविहस्तिनि शुनिश्चैव श्वपाके च पण्डिता समदर्शिनः इहैव तैर्जितः सर्गः इहैव तैर्जितः सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्मात् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः तस्मात् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः इहैव तैर्जितः सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्मात् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः न प्रहृष्येत् प्रियं प्राप्य न प्रहृष्येत् प्रियं प्राप्य नो द्विजेत् प्राप्य चाप्रियम् नो द्विजेत् प्राप्य चाप्रियम् स्थिरबुद्धिरसम्मूढः स्थिरबुद्धिरसम्मूढः ब्रह्मविद्ब्रह्मणि स्थितः ब्रह्मविद्ब्रह्मणि स्थितः न प्रहृष्येत् प्रियं प्राप्य नो द्विजेत् प्राप्य चाप्रियम् स्थिरबुद्धिरसम्मूढः ब्रह्मविद्ब्रह्मणि स्थितः।
In the 15th verse that we did last, in this chapter 5, Lord Krishna says, the Lord accepts neither the sin nor even the virtue of anyone. Knowledge is veiled by ignorance, beings are thereby deluded. Nādatte kasyachit pāpam nachaiva sukrutam vibhu ajñāne nāvratam jñānam tena mukhyanti jantavaha. Only for a person who looks at himself as I am the doer, karta, then comes the thought that I have done something right, I have done something wrong. As long as the I am the doer attitude is there, bhav is there, only then you can be doing right or wrong. Therefore, what binds you is not the action, it is the I am the doer attitude. Kartritva bhava. So he says, from the point of view of Atma, A person who's got the knowledge of Atma, he clearly knows that Atma is not the doer. Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. The moment you say, I am the doer, then you have to enjoy. Meaning you have to meet the karma of doing the right thing, there is a certain karma. Doing the wrong thing, there is a certain karma. You are bound by the karma. So bondage is due to the kartritva bhava. A person who realizes this, for him there is no sin or virtue. Now verse number 16.
Jnani natu tadajnanam. Jnani natu tadajnanam. Yesham nashitam atmanah. Yesham nashitam atmanah. Tesham adityavajnanam. Tesham adityavajnanam. Prakashayati tatparam. Prakashayati tatparam. Jnani natu tadajnanam. Yesham nashitam atmanah.
But in whom ignorance is destroyed by knowledge, in them knowledge reveals the supreme like the sun. So the previous verse he said, this knowledge is veiled by ignorance, therefore beings are deluded. Now here he says, but in whom that ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. In them, knowledge reveals the supreme like the sun. Now, when he said that beings are deluded by ignorance covering the knowledge. Now, this ignorance is not having any strength of its own. Ignorance is only the other side of knowledge. You can put it in another way. Ignorance has no existence of its own. Darkness has no existence of its own.
Lack of light, absence of knowledge, darkness
comes into play. Similarly, when the knowledge goes to sleep, then the ignorance takes over, as it were. So, ignorance per se has no existence of its own. If it has existence of its own, then you can fight with it, you can do something about it. When you are plunged in darkness, you can't fight with darkness. By fighting with darkness, you are only going to lose the battle. Like they do shadow boxing. If you do shadow boxing, you get tired. So, if you fight with darkness, you will only perish. So, what you have to do, you have to start bringing in light. It doesn't matter how long you were plunged in darkness. The moment you bring in a small lamp, darkness perishes. So to deal with ignorance, one needs to bring in knowledge from within. Atma is knowledge. Atma is never ignorant. Atma is never plunged in ignorance. Atma is always knowledge. But Atma can go to sleep. When we say Atma can go to sleep, bring in this example of Gulliver's travel. He is so strong, so huge, but he went off to sleep. When he went off to sleep, the Lilliputians were at work. But he was unaware, right? But when he woke up, all the bondages that the Lilliputians are supposed to have put it on him, it just sat, right? The whole thing removed automatically. So it is the question of awakening the awareness from within. So when the awareness goes down, ignorance takes over. Ignorance has no original existence of its own. That is the first point we need to remember here. So he says, but in whom ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. An object is there means it is existing. You imagine something, you project something over that object. What you have projected actually does not exist. But for you, it exists. Actually what exists is that object which you are not seeing for some reason. Similarly, what Vedanta says is, there is only Brahman, there is only Atma. You are projecting the world, you are projecting the samsara over it. It is just due to your ignorance. That ignorance can be removed by bringing in knowledge. There is no other way. fighting with darkness with any other tool, however sophisticated the tool might be, you will only get tired. You are going to lose the battle further. So when he says ignorance can be removed by knowledge, a lot of people take it as collecting information. By reading more and more books, you are not going to remove the ignorance. That is not knowledge, that is information. Remember, when he talks about knowledge, he is talking about awareness. A lot of us think by attending more and more classes, by reading more and more spiritual books, by collecting more and more information about Atma, I will remove this ignorance. This is another another method of plunging into deeper ignorance. So, in other words, all this should help you to kindle that awareness from within. Each one of us have the fire within. See, like in the yajna, they put wood inside the wood, and then they churn the wood. And when they churn the wood, from where the fire comes?
The wood window.
From the wood itself. And which is the fuel?
The wood itself.
Wood itself is the fuel. Similarly, in each one of us, there is ignorance, which is in the form of vasanas, and there is Atma Jnanam within. All that we need to do is we need to churn our personality. You need to use this information to churn the personality so that the awareness from within starts getting ignited. When the awareness from within starts getting ignited, then slowly, slowly the entire fuel vasanas gets burnt. Then what remains is only fire, Atma. That is what he is saying. But instead of understanding it that way, a lot of people think that by collecting more and more information, by reading more and more books, by going to many institutions and many gurus, and you know, by coming to know of many words, I will remove ignorance. What happens then when you collect more and more information is, instead of destroying the I starts becoming more and more strong. I know more. Once a very poor, illiterate person was waiting at the door of heaven, and he was so hesitant to knock at the door. A very learned man came, he knocked at the door, and the door was opened, he entered. Then he thought he will also knock. He got some courage, and he knocked at the door, and the door opened for him. He was also welcomed in, and when he went in, he was so surprised. He said, how come you are giving me such a welcome like you gave to the other person who is so learned? In fact, he was not given the welcome. Sorry, he was not given the welcome. How come you are not giving me so much of welcome that you gave to the learned person? Here also there seems to be partiality. For which the Dwarapalakas have said, the one who mans the gate, they said, listen, people like you come here very often. Person like him who is extremely learned very rarely comes here. For which this man said, how come it is that I always believe that learned people come to heaven? How come you say very few people who are learned come here? For which he said, along with their information comes ego. I, ahankar. When you have ahankar, you don't come to heaven. Even if you happen to go to heaven by mistake, with ahankar you only get dukkham. You don't get sukham. Are you with me? So in other words, the more and more information you collect, the more and more you come to know, the I starts becoming more and more strong. So you believe that you will get liberated. You won't get liberated. Liberation is from the I. Liberation is not for the I. This is what we need to understand. Always we think by me putting in effort, by me doing things, I will liberate, then I will be free from dukkha. I will be able to experience sukham alone. Sukham alone cannot be there as long as I is there. Sukham is when I is not there. Only when Paramatma is there, sukham is there. Even little bit of I is there, dukkha comes.
Once you rise above, there is no sukha in dukkha.
Exactly. So in other words, if you say, I will liberate, a lot of people are working for their salvation. What is your goal? My goal is to liberate. So they think they will go to some place, they will go where there will be no dukkha and they will be all blissful. I will be there. I want to be there. I do not want to give myself away. As long as you do not want to give yourself away, Paramatma Jnanam is not possible. Either you are there or Paramatma is there. Both are not possible. That is exactly what the meaning of Bhagavad Gita is. Bhagavad Gita means when the I in you dies, the Bhagwan will start playing the flute. Your personality will be played by Bhagwan. Then a beautiful Gita will come out of you. Otherwise, Apaswaram only will come. Swaram will not come out of you. A melody will not come out of you. Only noise will come out of you. So this is what he is saying here. In whom ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. So when will the ignorance destroy? By kindling the awareness from within. By churning the personality from within. And to churn your personality, you need to become more and more alert. You need to exercise your willpower. You need to become awakened. This is what you need to do. The easier thing to do is collecting books, memorizing words, and vomiting it to the crowd. You can easily give a lecture if you have read few books and you have the ability to communicate. But that in itself doesn't mean that you have removed the ignorance, as because you could have tremendous ego. I am a learned person. I am a Trivedi. I am a Chaturvedi. I know three Vedas. I know four Vedas. You know nothing. So he says, in whom ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. In them knowledge reveals the Supreme like the sun. Sun reveals itself when the clouds are removed. When the clouds go away, sun which has always been there reveals itself. You don't have to do anything to reveal the sun. All your efforts are only to remove the clouds. Swami Adi Shankaracharya gives a beautiful example in Atma Bodha. He says, how are the clouds formed? Due to the sun's heat, the water evaporates and the clouds are formed. The clouds are very much possible because of the sun. And from an angle it appears as if the clouds can cover the sun. Strictly speaking, clouds cannot cover the sun. And when the clouds removed, sun reveals itself. Atma Jnanam reveals itself. Atma is always Jnanam. Ajnanam can never cover the Atma. Now you need to remove the Ajnanam. How do you do? When Ajnanam is removed, Atma reveals itself. How do you remove the Ajnanam? What do you have to do to remove the Ajnanam?
Bring in knowledge. But we have to think about it constantly, that what we are doing, I'm not doing it.
Start doing every little thing mindfully.
Awareness all the time.
Exactly. So start with small exercises. Buddha used to talk about, Lord Buddha always used to talk about mindful walking, mindful talking, mindful eating. You understand? Bring in your willpower. And then whatever you feel is right, whatever according to you is to be done, you do that. Then you are conscious there. Otherwise, you are being led. You are not exercising your willpower. Are you with me? So very essential for awakening the Atma from within is willpower. Then you must have that courage to plunge into the unknown. Atma is unknown. These things are all known. The worldly pleasures are known. So everybody is going after these worldly things. Now we also would fall for those things. You understand? But you require tremendous courage. If you do not have that courage, it becomes very difficult to walk in the path of spirituality. You know, it is talked about Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa that he tried every different methods to realize the self. Because for him what mattered was liberation. He just wanted liberation. He didn't get bogged down by what could happen to me. He just tried, like a child. If this will give me that, I'll try that. You know, that sort of a courage.
For us, oh, what will happen?
If that fear is there, you cannot attain Atma Jnana. You will only go into the areas where you have light. You do not want to go into the areas where you don't have light. You are scared. But if you want to go within, you require that tremendous courage. What will this person say? What will that person say? You should have that willpower to do what you think is right. Let them think what they want to think.
Basically to get out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Move away.
You need that. You know, in that movie, what is that movie's name? Newman Show.
Truman Show.
Truman Show. Mm. The movie called Truman Show. This guy is born in a set. A huge set is erected, and he is born in the set.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
No.
Jim Carrey acted in that movie. He is born in a huge set. He doesn't know that he is born there. He believes that everybody inside is real characters. But they are all actors playing various roles. Right? He has been brought up there and this is being live telecast. The whole world is watching. The whole world is waiting to see when he will come to know that this is a set. When he will come out of the set. You know? So it's going on live 24 hours. That's a beautiful hit. Serial for the whole world. Everybody is watching.
Reality show.
Reality show. They won't know. I mean, he wouldn't know. Everybody else knows. So when he, once in between, he gets a doubt and he tries to find out what it's all about. That fear is there in him. In water, they create fear, you know. So he doesn't go because he has to go out of that ocean. So they create fear in him. Thunder and all that. He gets scared. He comes out. So like that, we have fear to go into this unknown realms, but it is very convenient for us to follow these things because everybody is doing it. Very rarely a person takes that courage to walk into the unknown within. That is why in Vedas it is said, very rarely a person aspires to liberate the self, find the Atma. Out of those people, the number is very less, but out of those very less numbers, only 1% probably finds it. You need that courage. Columbus ventured, whether he came to India or not, he found something. We never venture out, we are always sitting in the comfort zone. We do not want to come out. And sitting in your comfort zone, sitting in the Kartrutva bhav, you want to find out, it's not possible. That is why in the 18th chapter Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tva Sarva Papyajya Mokshayishyami Masucha. Even success in the world will come when you give yourself completely to it. Half-baked attempts will not bring in success. You should be ready to die for it. If you give yourself fully, you will get it. Half-baked attempt. I want this also, I want that also, I want that. It's not possible. Give yourself fully, take that courage. And then the energy within should not be dissipated. You need to direct it towards higher. Conserve it and direct it towards higher. You need to practice sense control. If you go on dissipating your energy in the sense indulgences, then that is why sense control is talked about in spirituality. Not because sense contacts are sinful. Sense contacts, when it goes beyond regulation, beyond control, you are wasting your energy. It is the same energy that needs to be utilized for you to achieve something higher. Forget about spirituality, even in the material world. If somebody is wasting his energies in these sensual indulgences, he doesn't have energy to direct in the right areas to be successful. You understand? So therefore, you need to regulate, direct, practice self-control, willpower, courage, sense control, mindful activities. Whatever you do, start doing it mindfully. That will wake you up. So you could be a pandit knowing many more Vedas, many words of the Vedas, many mantras of the Vedas, but you are not leading your life mindfully. Like when you switch on the tape recorder starts the chanting. If the tape recorder has been loaded with a CD which has mantras, Vedic mantras, you switch on the tape recorder, the Vedic mantras begin. Like that, if somebody starts chanting the Vedic mantras, giving lecture on Vedas, mechanically, unmindfully, he might be far away from the truth. Are you with me? Whereas the other person, he might not know anything about Vedas, but he lives his life mindfully. Then what is he doing? He is kindling the fire from within. In that fire from within, the Ajnanam completely gets burnt out. So that is why fear Lord Krishna, what he is saying, we need to understand these verses very clearly. Otherwise it looks very simple, innocuous verse. But in whom ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. It is not collecting words. It is living your life mindfully. Whatever you have to do, do it with awareness. Do it with objectivity. Bringing in your willpower and courage, practicing self-control. Then when you go on destroying the ignorance thus. Now the interesting thing is, even if the darkness is not completely gone, just little sun comes in the morning, right? When sun comes in the morning, sun rises in the morning, it's not fully risen. Has it fully risen? It's not fully risen. Yet, you're able to move around without the help of any bulb, any light. Similarly, even removing little ignorance from within, little bit of awareness you bring in and start living your life, and ignorance is removed here and there, your life starts becoming beautiful. You get clarity in how to live. Forget about realizing the self. That is a far cry. Sun has not fully risen yet. Even then, you would find your life a very, very fulfilling. That is what he is saying. In whom ignorance is destroyed by knowledge. So do things with awareness, do things with responsibility, do things with your willpower. You decide and you do it. You take it upon yourself. Don't leave it in the hands of your senses or desires. That's all he's saying. If you do that, then slowly, slowly, Atma from within reveals itself. Next verse.
Tadbuddhayastadatmanaha Tadbuddhayastadatmanaha Tannishtastatparayanaha Tannishtastatparayanaha Gacchantyapunaravrittim Gacchantyapunaravrittim Jnananirdutakalmashaha Jnananirdutakalmashaha Tadbuddhayastadatmanaha Tannishtastatparayanaha Gacchantyapunaravrittim Jnananirdutakalmashaha. With mind and intellect established in that, Tadbuddhaya Tadatmanaha Tannishtaha. Tannishtaha means established in that. With that as the supreme goal, they whose sins have been dispelled by knowledge reach a state of no return. He is talking about getting established in that, not having an experience of it. You know, in spiritual field, very often you may get a temporary experience. A lot of people take the temporary experience as everything. It is said, when Vivekananda approached Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he has approached many sages before that. He asked them, have you seen God? Have you seen God? And whatever answers they gave was not convincing to him. So when he asked Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he said, yes,
as clearly as I have seen you.
So he immediately got convinced and he followed him.
And in between it is said, Ramakrishna is supposed to have given him that temporary experience by touching his forehead.
Yeah, with his toe.
With his toe. Vivekananda is supposed to have got that experience temporarily. But then quickly the experience folded. Now he said, now you work for it and you get it. That will be your own. This is something that I am giving you.
Shown you.
But now you need to work for it and you need to get into it. You need to get there yourself and that will be permanent. You understand? So here he is saying you have to get established there. Your mind and intellect should get established there. In our case, mind and intellect is not established there. Something happens at the family front, we forget about everything else. That is, in other words, this is not our priority. This is not our supreme goal. You remember we have discussed this example before also about when you go to a supermarket and the supermarket, the staff over there tell you that we are going to shut down in 5 minutes. Quickly do your shopping. You have a very big list. What will you do?
Prioritize. What?
Quickly buy those very, very important things and leave. Right? Similarly, if you are told only 5 minutes left for you to die, God forbid if you are told like that, what would be your priority? That one needs to find out. So he says, if for you this is your priority, if for you this is your supreme goal, if for you this is what ultimately matters to you, this is what Lord Krishna is saying. With mind and intellect established in that, everything else is secondary. Primary is this. For us, God is a means to fulfill our desires. So when we go to God, we think God is somebody who can fulfill our desires. We don't go to God to be part of God, to become God. We do not want God. We only want God to fulfill our desires. But when Radha sought after Krishna, for her, she wanted Krishna. Not anything from Krishna. Are you with me? So if you give yourself, he who loseth his self for my sake shall find it, said Jesus Christ. He who loseth his self for my sake shall find it. That's what Lord Krishna is saying here. With mind and intellect established in that, with that as the supreme goal. Supreme goal should not be understood as after attaining all these goals, I will aspire for that goal. The interesting thing about these temporary goals is you will never find enough is enough. First you think, if I get a million, it should be fine. And when you get the million, you think, no, it should be 10 million. When you get 10 million, 100 million. But you think, after I have done with all this, I'll get there. It never comes. Isn't it? A lot of people say, I want to come and attend these sessions, I'm really interested, but obligations. Once I'm done with all the obligations, I'll come. And they mean it. They genuinely believe that they'll catch up with it, they'll finish it off, and then they'll come. It never happens. It never happens. Whether it is coming for the weekly classes, or whether it is going for yearly lectures, or whether it is visiting an ashram or joining an ashram, it never happens. Because once you have
priority.
Exactly. Because you have not understood it. That's why Vedanta clearly says, TK, as long as they go, it's fine. You don't condemn them. This itself is great. They are at least able to appreciate it. You understand? But a person who has understood, Arevama, this alone matters. If a doctor tells you, you need biopsy, will you say, I'll finish with all my other obligations and then I'll come?
Yeah.
You may not be there. Because he says, you have no idea. If he says, this is important, you need to do it now.
Because only then we can find out if it is cancerous or not and what stage it has got to. You won't say, can we fix this appointment next year? Because my diary is full the whole of this year. You won't say that.
You make place for it.
You will say, this is what matters, right? You put aside everything else. He says, that is required. Then only sins will be destroyed. Whose sins have been dispelled by knowledge? Only then the knowledge can rise in you. Otherwise, you set aside some time to read books, thinking that by reading books something is going to happen. Nothing will happen. It's not reading books. Krishna himself said this. It's not what I am saying. If you read verse number 42, 43, 44 of chapter 2, Krishna himself has said that. You've gone through all those things. Those who are lost in the flowery words, get involved in Vedas. Lord Krishna himself spoke about it. And this is not going to help you. He's continuing the same thought. So with mind and intellect established in it. Our mind is established in the world.
Because nothing, it's like in an arranged marriage, the girl keeps seeing boys because not the right one. Similarly, maybe they go attending different.
Absolutely fine. I'm not criticizing.
I'm only.
Yeah. Saying. When we talk on these words, I'm only saying that if you want to destroy ignorance by the knowledge, then this should have come to you. That is why in the Atma Bodha, Adi Shankara says certain qualification for a person who wants to liberate. He gives qualification for a Shishya. You understand? And he says, don't give this knowledge to non-adhikaris. One of the qualifications he talks about is Mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means a burning desire to liberate. If you push a person's head inside a water surface, what will he do? He will do anything. He will do anything to get away from that. Isn't it? Get his head away from it. Similarly, you should feel that way that you are bound here. We don't. Only when you feel bound, you want to liberate. You don't.
Because it's a lot of effort. So if you are not that dedicated, it can't come in all the time.
It's very simple. If you don't feel suffocated,
it's
you do not want to
get out of it. It's easy to just...
Exactly. So many of us, temporarily there will be some problem. So we just want to get out of it. And at that time, we genuinely feel that we are interested in these things. And then,
as soon as
the problem goes, this is not our priority anymore. Are you with me? So, a lot of us complain about the institutions and then we give up the pursuit. A lot of us complain about the gurus and we give up the pursuits. If the gurus are at fault, if the institutions are at fault, why do you have to stop your pursuit? You understand? You can continue your pursuit. You don't have to go to that institute, you don't have to go to that guru maybe. But who asked you to stop your pursuit? This is only some excuse. You are not really craving for it. If you really crave for it, you will find it. You understand? You will do anything to get there. If somebody had kidnapped your children, would you be able to sleep? Your mind will start functioning in various ways and how to get that children back. Isn't it? So this is what he's saying, that should be your supreme goal. You must have understood the bondage here. That is a very, very important thing. If you have not felt the bondage, you are not going to become alert in your pursuit. You are going to be comfortable in dreaming. You know, somebody is dreaming, the house is on fire, and you wake him up. He says, chalo yaar, I'm enjoying the dream, don't disturb me. He doesn't realize. Once the heat comes to his body, then he wakes up. Once he sees, would he say, I would like, love to be in dream again, continue to be in dream? He wouldn't say. The heat has not touched him yet. Isn't it? If he's sitting in the house and the house is on fire and his body started feeling the heat, would he want to comfortably continue the dream? That heat will wake him up and he'll see the fire everywhere and he'll rush to escape. Isn't it? So this is what is happening in us. We are very comfortably going on in our dream. As long as we are comfortably going on in our dream, we are not going to wake up. They are not going to do any effort to wake up. So with that, as the Supreme Guru, they whose sins have been dispelled by knowledge, then they will bring in their willpower and consciously start functioning, consciously start taking actions. They won't leave it to the destiny. Otherwise, we will talk about destiny is a hair, therefore this will happen. This is how everybody lives, therefore I will also do like that. You won't talk about that. You will take your life in your hands. You will start living life consciously. So once you start living your life consciously, your sins will start getting destroyed. You collect sins because you don't live your life consciously. Remember this. No person can collect sin consciously. Try it out. Because the moment you become conscious, there can be no sin. Sin itself is because you have fallen asleep. Sleepwalking. Sleep living. If you start living mindfully, if you start summoning your willpower and exercise self-control, there is no question of overeating. There is no question of oversleeping. There is no question of any of these things. There is no question of collecting sins. So whose sins have been dispelled by knowledge reach a state of no return. What is this reach a state of no return? Initially he said, established in that. If you have just had a glimpse, then you are not established. When you have a glimpse and you are established, what is the difference between the two? Somebody who has had the glimpse, somebody who is established in it.
The glimpse will keep coming back, going back, coming
fleeting
back.
Experience. Fleeting experience.
Yeah, it will just be temporary. Established, you can't. It's like when a caterpillar has become a butterfly, it's become a butterfly. It's not never ever going to become a caterpillar again or experience that again.
Correct. What is glimpse? What is the major difference between glimpse and being established in that experience?
Glimpse is temporary.
You can go back to what you were.
You will.
You will go back.
Huh. Yeah, you fall back.
You fall back.
Glimpse is only
just temporary. Established is permanent.
Yeah.
That you've already crossed that level and you're gone.
Yeah, glimpses, you know it exists, but you're not there because you keep falling back. And even if you know it's there, if you're falling back, that means you're not.
You
don't believe. I mean, you're not completely Atma. No, then you believe there is Atma. You know there is Atma, but you don't. You are not Atma.
In the glimpse, the seer is still there. In the established experience, the seer is there. That means he's
not there.
He's dissolved.
The seer.
The seer is dissolved in the scene.
The eye.
Yeah,
the ego is still there. Remember, I am having an experience. A lot of people in meditation, they come out and talk about having gone through certain experience. The moment you are there, it is not the ultimate experience.
Yeah, because you are seeing it happen to you.
Exactly. The moment you are there witnessing Atma, then it is not Atma. When Atma experience happens, you are not there. You have become one with Atma. When the river has merged with the ocean, thereafter there is no more river. So that is why he says there is no state of no return. You reach a state of no return. In all the other glimpse experiences, a lot of people take these experiences as final. I have had the experience of realization. They have not had the experience. They can come back. They can get into more and more samsara.
But they do also and they know it also. You can experience it and you know that it's just an
experience. A lot of people take it as final experience. The moment you take it as final experience, then you go down the drain. In fact, start plunging in
worse,
greater darkness. And that is why he says,
when you are no more, only when Atma is, that is establishment. What do you mean? A soft doll is there watching the ocean as it waves. It's different from salt doll. When it touches the ocean, what happens? It becomes ocean. Similarly, the individuality dissolves in the totality. That is that ultimate experience. Thereafter there is no more individuality. When the individuality is no more, where is the question of sin or punya? Here when he talks about punya and sin, he is including both punya and papa. The word sin in this verse includes both punya and papa. It is not just papa that he is talking about. Whose sins have been dispelled by knowledge means whose papa and punya have been dispelled by knowledge. Because the individuality exists no more as a result of establishing. This is what is important. See, for example, you take the example of somebody being addicted to substance. It could be anything, alcohol, drugs, cigarette, whatever. How would you think that the person can come out of this addiction permanently?
Willpower. Once he decides, mind, once he gets conscious of it.
The first step is, he must accept that I am addicted. A lot of people keep saying, I can get rid of it whenever I want. They'll never get rid of it because the ego is there. First I accept that I am addicted. Then I realize that I must come out of this slavish scenario. I'm being held hostage. Without it, I'm not able to even do anything. My, you know, fingers are trembling. I'm not able to do anything. I need it. That's sort of a slavish circumstance I need to come out of. Once I decide that, then I know I need help. Really. Then I go to somebody who can help me. And that somebody should be loving and caring and understanding the environment, not judging me. If that somebody or the environment becomes judgmental, then what happens? They're making me feel guilty. The more they make me guilty, the more I get into this stress, and that will make me lose my willpower and fall into the addiction. So the acceptance by the other family members at home, they should deal with the person with love and care. That is very essential, Aryuti. And if that person goes to the environment where he is given certain treatments, some chemical, some this thing, some that thing. If you see in those de-addiction camps, firstly, those things will not be there. So the object to which they are addicted. Even sensibly, when you talk to somebody who is addicted here, you tell them, you don't tell them to stop smoking. The moment you say stop, the desire increases. So what do? You tell them, don't have to stop smoking, but simply don't buy the cigarettes and keep it with you. Are you with me? Just like how you schedule your work, now you schedule your smoking hours. And that time, when you having scheduled your smoking hours, that time you go buy it from the shop and smoke. And when you smoke, smoke consciously, with full awareness, so that the urge for the next cigarette gets delayed. And secondly, during the time when you are not smoking, don't keep yourself idle. Engage yourself in some work. And engage yourself in some work which elevates your self-esteem and self-respect. Really. So if you are engaging in some work which is elevating your self-respect and self-esteem, you start feeling better from
within.
When you start feeling better from within and you have come out of a situation where you can deal with your emotions and never allow yourself to get into stress, then alone you can say, I am free from addiction. Otherwise, a lot of people have these nicotine patches and all those things and they don't smoke. But what is happening is, even in them you can't say they have permanently come out of
addiction.
Because at times when they fall into emotional stress,
they'll go back.
That is why loneliness, all these things starts taking you back. So that establishing is important. Establishing yourself in the Atma, when you do that, the individuality completely dissolves. And when the individuality completely dissolves, then thereafter there is no question of Pap or Punya. We dealt with that in the 15th verse itself. He said, Kartrutva, if it is there, then Punya and Pap is there. When Kartrutva is there, everything Paramatma is doing, where is the question of Punya or Pap? A simple example, like judge is passing the sentence and the judge has passed the sentence, hang the person. The hangman is only doing his job. He has no sin or anything. Even the judge cannot have the sin as long as he has been objective and had no personal motive. Are you with me? So the moment I comes in, then comes sin. So he says, with mind and intellect established in that, with that as the supreme goal, they whose sins have been dispelled by knowledge, reach a state of no return. They reach a state of no return means what? Thereafter, there is no question of falling back to
ego,
samsara. Thereafter, there is no question of collecting more impressions, more vasanas. When you have destroyed vasanas, you don't come back.
So, like Buddha, there is no coming back. There is no Siddharth Buddha. Once he is enlightened, he is enlightened.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what.
That is what I discussed once. Once the person is enlightened, his momentum carries on for a while. That momentum also finishes, he gives up the body. And when he has given up the body, there is no more impressions left in him. When there are no impressions left in him, there is no more coming back. So Vedanta tells us that when you realize the self, there is no more birth for you. Till you have not realized the self, there will be birth for you.
Guruji, one question, like supposing in Buddha, like what you just said, supposing he has his own prarabdha and his karma coming from before, then when he reaches enlightenment, after that he is not creating any more karma anymore, because he is just just living, and with no doership at all. But if there is any baggage from previous birth or prarabdha, whatever we say,
the momentum he lives now, till he dies.
That is,
momentum he lives.
Okay. So that's not also finished.
Incomplete.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then once the person dies, both Sanchita and Prarabdha karma are
finished.
Gone. Thereafter there is no more vasanas, therefore he doesn't come back.
Vasanas finished even the day he reached enlightenment.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But Prarabdha is there.
Yeah, Prarabdha is there.
Continues.
Yeah.
When that Prarabdha is also finished, thereafter there is nothing for him to come back. Therefore he doesn't come back. That's why we say yadgatva nani vartante. Having reached that state of realization, he doesn't take birth again. See, it's like this. From within, if you have realized, this is the meaning behind the confession in Christianity. But this has been taken into some different way. A lot of people go on confessing mechanically. They're not really confessing.
They're not really regretting. They're just confessing as...
I don't know whether we can use the word regret. See, it's basically, I've understood that it is wrong. I've seen it. You can never do that again. Once you do a thing consciously, you cannot make a mistake again. Once you have realized, it is the question, you have not realized. You have gone into this good and bad things. Oh, I should not be doing bad things. I've done a bad thing, I'm sorry. You understand? Then you still have that notion. Then you will, in certain other moments, again you do. You know very well that it is wrong. Why do you do it? Are you with me? So you have not from within realized. So, verse number 18. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shunishchaivashvapakecha, Pandita Samadarshinaha, Pandita Samadarshinaha, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shunishchaivashvapakecha, Pandita Samadarshinaha. Once a person reaches the state of no return, how does he function in this world? He is talking about that here. The wise view equally a brahmana endowed with learning and humility, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and even an outcast. What are the signs of a person who has reached that state of no return? This is what I discussed before once in the class. It's not as though having reached a state of no return, he immediately dies. He continues to live due to the past momentum. When he continues to live with this past momentum, how would he live? He's talking about that here. So he says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. The Brahmana that he's referring to here is one who has become Brahman. Not somebody who is born in a Brahmin family. Simply because you are born in a Brahmin family doesn't mean that you are a Brahmana. Are you with me? There are people who do the job of Brahmins, like priests. Yeah. Simply because you do that in itself doesn't mean you are a Brahmana. Huh? You have to be Guna Brahmana, not Jati Brahmana. Through birth, through caste, through karma, all these will not work. If in guna you are a brahmana, and what is that guna brahmana? What is the nature of the brahmana? He says he views a brahmin who is endowed with knowledge and humility. What is the sign of a brahmin? Sign of a brahmin is
knowledge and humility.
Humility, not just knowledge. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. This is what I was telling you. I talked about that story who went to heaven, you remember? Too much of reading, too much of knowing, too much of information, you might still have ego, which means you are not a Brahmana. You may be doing the job of a Brahmin, but you are far from a Brahmana.
You are doing it again, the doership of
God. Exactly. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. Vidya and Vinaya should always go together. Viveka and Vairagya should always go together. In fact, Vidya, whether somebody has or not, the sign is only through Vinaya. The more humble you are, the more you get filled. See, I think it is about George Bernard Shaw. Once I believe he was walking in a village, in the field, you know, and in the fields, paddy fields, in between there is a single file for an individual to walk. So he was walking on that single file in the opposite direction, and ordinary farmer was walking, you know. When he was walking, when they both approached right in front of each other, Bernard Shaw didn't want to get down. He said, I don't give way for fools. I don't give way to fools.
that other person, farmer, immediately stepped down, stepped aside and said, it seems I am not like that. He just said that, I am not like that. So I think it is Bernard Shaw who reported it later on, saying that I learned something there. See, in other words, the sign of knowledge is humility, not how much you know.
The more knowledgeable you are, the more humble you will be.
Empty vessels make more noise. A person who knows, he simply keeps quiet. Robert Browning says, less is more. People with less knowledge is known. People with real knowledge is not really known. Many people don't know Swami Tapan Maharaj. Is there anyone here who don't know Swami Tapan Maharaj?
Which Maharaj you know?
Swami Tapan Maharaj. You don't know. You know?
No.
So all of you don't know. Do you all know Swami Chinmayananda?
Yeah.
He's good.
He's good.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, Swami Chinmayananda himself is supposed to have said once that my knowledge is just 1% of what Swami Tapan Maharaj is. When Chinmayananda called him to come down from Himalayas, from Uttarkashi, he said, I'm not coming. Imagine that Swami, in fact, it's a very interesting story I read about Swami Chinmayananda. Swami Chinmayananda is supposed to have been a freelance journalist. And he had gone to Himalayas to expose these Swamis. You understand? And there he saw Swami Shivananda. And the purity with which Swami Shivananda was serving and teaching, he became his disciple. Swami Chinmayananda. Then I think he took up sannyas there. Then he wanted to learn the Upanishads. Then Shivananda said, now I can't teach you these things now. So, but Swami Tapan Maharaj is there in Uttarkashi. Swami Shivananda was in Rishikesh. So you go to Uttarkashi, Swami Tapan Maharaj will teach you. You go and tell him that I sent you there. So he goes there. Those days, you don't have any proper roads. You have to go by walk or bell gadi only, by bullock cart. He did all that and he reached Uttarkashi after so many hours, after so much of struggle. And guess what? Tapan Maharaji is supposed to have asked, okay, you see, Shivananda sent you. You have any letter?
Letter.
I said, I don't have any letter. Okay, go get it. If it was any one of us, we would have never come back. He went back, got the letter, went to him. And then he stayed with Swami Tapan Maharaj for almost 6 years, did tapasya, learned all these things. He came down and he started Chinmayananda. All on his own. And look at the work that mission is doing now. So much of, you know, everywhere, gyan. Now what I am trying to say is, everybody knows Swami Chinmayananda. Hardly anybody knows Swami Tapan Maharaj. This is always the case. Source is always not known. So Robert Browning says, less is more.
And the source doesn't even have the need to be. They don't even...
That is why it is source. Absolutely independent. Absolutely self-sufficient.
But had Chinmayananda not gone there, then Tapan Maharaj wouldn't have been able to spread his knowledge either.
See, please understand this. It's good that you asked this question, and it is not Chinmayananda ji asked, that is why he is Chinmayananda. The thing is, the moment I feel that if I have not got this knowledge, could not have come, Ramvita very beautifully says, Vedanta has many ways in which it can propagate itself. I don't need to do that. That, you know, that attitude. In other words, when there is a demand, there will be a supply. If it was not Chinmayananda, it would have been
somebody else.
If, for example, if I am not coming here, you would have got this knowledge to somebody else, as long as you had the
thirst.
Demand. If you have the thirst, it will come to you. How it will come to you, where it will come from, you have no idea.
So even Chinmayananda will not feel, I have spread it. It's just that he is doing the
work of
spreading it.
Nobody would do that in such a level. So the point I am just trying to say is, the thought may come to us, If you had not gone, that's a genuine thought. I'm not saying it's an egoistic thought. But the person who went, he simply went, he did not go to learn so that I can propagate. All that happened naturally afterwards.
No, no, no. My point was different. What I was saying was that Tapovan Maharaj was so jnani that he was not spreading his wings.
Because he knows he is like lake. Lake is not worried or intention that will they come and take the water from me? Will they benefit themselves? For example, this is what we keep on telling. Try to be a lake. What does the lake do? What does the lake do? It simply collects water. Simply collects water. What do we do? We are in need of water. What do? We draw water from the lakes. So similarly, don't have to worry, I have to spread this knowledge, I have to give this knowledge, I have to do this, I have to do that. Simply go do your study, tapas. Do your sadhana. When you go on filling yourself, the world, the people in need will come to you. How they will come to you, how it will happen, you have no idea. Ramana Maharishi, for example, he was just sitting in the mountain there in South India, Tiruvannamalai. Right? You go there today also, if you go, so many people from some unknown countries, not from India, from unknown countries come there. And many of them, when I went there, I think about a year ago or 1.5 years ago, I went there. In that ashram, I saw so many Westerners, clothed like a South Indian. The entire family, I saw entire families there, dressed up like South Indians, dhoti and kurta or shirt, and then the tilak, the, you know, on their forehead. The wife is dressed in sari, children are all in salwar kameez. They are all doing meditation and all that stuff there. But Ramana Maharishi simply stayed in one place. He never went around lecturing. Different Swamis have different momentum. That we have already explained. So, everybody has reached that state. As per their momentum, they function. But once you become a Brahmajnani, knowledge from you will be taken by the people who have demand. How it will happen, you leave it to the totality. So, Chinmayanandaji, I am sure, did not have this thing that I must get this knowledge and propagate it. No, I am not saying you said that. I am just saying this as a point. Similarly, Tapan Maharaj simply took him the knowledge and Chinmayanandaji came and so many other disciples came. And similarly, Ramakrishna. Understand? He was there. Vivekananda went to Ramakrishna and through Vivekananda, the knowledge was spread throughout the world. So it is so interesting, really speaking, if you really understand this concept, we don't have to become, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying anybody, don't have to become so this thing that I have to spread this knowledge, I have to propagate this. It will happen automatically. All that you need to do is you get established in that knowledge. Once you get established in that knowledge, somebody, somewhere will take up your work.
Reflect.
It will. It has to. You understand? It's no... See, in other words, gold doesn't go announcing, I'm here, come. We dig and get the gold. It is only people who are less worthy have to go about announcing. If you really become that height, you don't have to announce. People will come. So that sort of a state Tapan Maharaji was. In fact, when Tapan Maharaji was called by Chinmayanandaji, I read it somewhere. He said, no, I'm fine, I'm here. You're doing a good job, you carry on.
A lot of people must have also gone. It's just that Chinmayanandaji came and spread it. But a lot of people must have.
Of course. Chinmayanandaji is famous.
People.
Others might not be. Similarly, Vivekananda had, I mean, Ramakrishna had many disciples. Vivekananda was famous. See, it's very interesting how.
You must have touched other people's lives also.
Exactly. So, one Chinmayananda created this whole thing, and from him came my guru, from Parsarthi, Swami Dayananda, and so many more people. how the whole thing spreads. You know, it's very, if you genuinely feel yourself like a lake, become a lake. We should not have the attitude that I must immediately give. All that you need to do is digest it, digest it, digest it. And when you go on digesting it and you get established there, the knowledge from you will pass on to others. Not that you should not give it to others, but the right student will come. And similarly, when the student has that demand, the right guru will come. How all these things will happen, you leave it to the law of demand and supply. Demand and supply is there. You can see in your own life also how it happened. You know, the other day somebody was telling me, they happened to go to some mandir and there they saw the rotis and then they came to the class. And they were not going to go to the mandir that day. They had gone to visit somebody opposite to the mandir. They weren't there. So they went to the mandir. You say such things, right? You hear such things. So where there is a demand, there is a supply. And if you fill yourself with jnanam, people who want it will take it. They will be shown to you. This is the beauty of the law of demand and supply.
It's like that book Secrets where they say that think positive. Whatever you are, whatever you want or whatever you're craving for will in some way or the other come back to you.
Yes.
Your energy, just
let go.
Yeah.
You don't have to think that I am doing. You just let go and fill yourself. Things will automatically happen. But that genuinely you must do it, not putting on a show. So Vidya Vinaya Sampanni Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunishchaiva Shobakecha Pandita Samadarshina. It's a very famous off quoted verse 18. So here in this verse he's saying the wise man has Samadarshan to a Brahmana and an outcast. A Chandala who eats dog meat. In other words, all the variety show, he remains same. It is not as if he doesn't know the variety. He doesn't know the difference between a Brahmana and an outcast. It's not as though he doesn't know the difference between gold, silver and iron. Arithmi, he knows. But he knows the value of them, but he has no value for them. For them, he doesn't have any value. For him, everything is same. The value for him is only for Atma. So he says, cow, an elephant, a dog, different beings. You can say sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, whichever way you want to interpret it. Different beings, different nature people, as far as his inner nature is concerned, he remains the same. He views them equally. Just because somebody is highly knowledgeable and somebody is not so knowledgeable, he is not going to have difference inside. He knows the difference outside, but inside he knows everything is nothing but Atma. Sunlight is falling in a pot which is clear, getting very clearly reflected. It's falling on another pot which is full of green mantle, not getting reflected. You understand that sunlight is falling here also, there also. So Atma is there in a culprit as well as a sage. So you have the equal vision. If you have got that knowledge, you clearly know that the inside, the green mantle is removed, then he is also a sage. So that is why Jesus Christ said, hate the sin and not the sinner. Everybody is a sage. Nobody is a sinner. This sin, when it is removed, he knows that the sage from within emerges.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेस्वभावात् प्रकृतेस्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।